they say clothes maketh the man or woman, if I can use those terms, and I just have, and that's never more pertinent than in Peter Strickland's 2018 British film, In Fabric. Now, it's a horror film, and what it does, because it combines two stories which are linked by a specific thread, quite literally thread, because it's a piece of clothing here. Ha ha, you saw what I did there, didn't you? It really harks back to those Hammer Compendium movies. You know, like From Beyond the Grave and Vault of Horror and all that kind of... Vault of Terror? Vault of Horror? Vault of... And The House That Dripped Blood. Yeah. That John Pertwee. That's that one is a very, very good. And the Denham Elliott one's pretty good. Anyway, more of that in a bit. Or more of that some other time. This is like a compendium movie. Because, as I say, the image that... and the plot device, the MacGuffin, if you like, that really unites both stories is a dress, a red dress from an otherworldly store. Now, first of all, about the store, because it's beautifully done by Strickland. The adverts for the store are unreservedly, undeniably and excellently 70s. So you've got a little bit, because 70s work has a bit of a patina. I think it's the film stock that was used, it might be the lighting, maybe things were a little bleaker generally then. But whatever it is, it looked a bit bleaker and they had a bit of a patina. Whenever you look at 70s movies and series and that kind of thing, and that's what you've got here. It looks like it's one removed. Also got is an extraordinary marketing ploy. So you've got several women and a very Nosferatu like, you know, the way he's moving, a very odd Nosferatu like manager, and three women who, if I can use that word, and I just have, who are beckoning people in. At one stage, we do see a sale and loads of people waiting for the sale and then coming out and giving us a sort of ritual in which they go on down on one knee, I think, if I remember rightly, or is it both knees, and sort of beckon them in, bowing their heads. Extraordinary, actually. Yeah, really extraordinary. And, yeah, it's an amazing piece of work. It's the store is at the basis of all this, and the person who is trying to get people to purchase said clothes is not just a salesperson. She's selling an ethos, and also it seems particularly when she's throwing her body from side to side to make the dress move on its own, some kind of possession situation. Very quickly, we come to see that the dress that is purchased because of Sheila Woolchapel, who works for a bank, is after, and she's put adverts out in on apps and that kind of thing. She's after a bit of an upswing in life. She's got a child, and he is very keen on a girlfriend that he's kind of moved in, and they're having lots of sexual intercourse, which Sheila isn't and can hear. It's Marianne Jean-Baptiste, who has a diffident kind of quality about her here. She buys the dress because, well, I'm going out for dates, so why wouldn't I do that? And she does find someone, Zach, who is very keen on her, and they seem to be having a a very open and good time. There's a lovely moment where they're dancing, and I think she says, how many dates have you been on? Quite a lot, but not anymore. No, me neither. It's lovely. And that's played. He's played by Barry Adamson of the Wonderful Music and Wonderful Albums. And the King of Nothing Hill. That's all I'm going to say. Go and listen to that on your streaming service or buy it. You will not be disappointed. That filmic, wonderful, jazz-based funk soul music is great. And he's rather good in this as well. He has a very calm and gentle feel about him. But her life is messed up by this, by the dress. First of all, she finds a rash on her body from the dress, and it starts to take over her life. So, for instance, she is attacked by a dog when she's wearing the dress, and she's walking with Zach on the park. The dog grabs hold of the dress and rips it to shreds. She survives and isn't hurt particularly, but when her son brings the dress back, it's completely intact. And as she says, it really shouldn't be. I won't tell you what happens, but there are some lovely images here, particularly the sales assistant, Mrs. Lookmore, who at one point is travelling up and down to various rooms in a dumbwaiter. And it's not as if she's not snugly fitting in that. She's not really fitting in that. That got to be terrible to film for her. And it's an extraordinary image, as is the way that the dress is paid for and the change comes back, which is in one of those compressed air cylinders. You know, the old style, that old style, great. And that's the first story. I won't tell you much about it. You really need to go and have a look at it because it is fabulous and the images are arresting. Second one couldn't be more different, actually, although at its heart are two people who aren't really living the high life in the same way as Sheila Woolchapel. This is, it's Leo Bill as Reg Speaks, who is a washing machine repairman, and Hayley Squires as Babs. So, for instance, they are about to get married, and for instance, he's got an obsession because we see a flashback of when he was a child and he was having a zip done up on a cardigan. So the sales assistant's hand was somewhere rather near the nether regions, and she's bending down and she's got a pair of tights on. You can see that she has a slit in the skirt, and it's quite, and he's got an obsession with that particular kind of garb, you know, which Hayley doesn't share because they make her legs itch. So there's things like that. There's things like, there's something I really like, and actually I'm not going to get that, and I've settled for a quiet life, except that when Leo speaks about the most mundane repairs to washing machines, people go into, they either throw their heads back and not, and are delighted orgasmically but calmly, as if they've just injected a rather large syringe of heroin, for instance, or some opiate in that way, or they're really turned on by it, and he's not trying to do that. There is a lovely scene where there are two characters who go through this, both stories. They work at the bank, and so in the first story they are talking to Sheila about how are you, but what about your handshake? And in the second one, you've got Reg going to them for a loan because he is sacked by his organisation, by the company, by a manager who they're all frightened of, but who doesn't say anything in two long scenes. Marvellous work. He's just staring at them. He's called Terry Bird, this guy. And these two gentlemen who work so well with each other are Julian Barrett and Steve Oram. Now, seek out Steve Oram's work. It's a film in particular. Go and have a look. See what you think. It's an occult type of movie. Yeah. Now, they see Leo, who wants a loan, And they will give him a preferential rates loan if he just speaks to them about washing machines. He's sacked, by the way, because he fixes his own washing machine. It's had the red dress in it. More about that in a minute. And shakes the washing machine to pieces. So he has to fix it. And he's seen by a neighbour and reported to his boss, who sacks him. Anyway, and he sacks him by taking his card, which is actually a piece of card, and eating it. It's an interesting way. You don't get a P45. You just get somebody eating your card. So the way the dress comes into his life is that his prospective father-in-law has organised a stag do, and he feels he has to go on it, even though he doesn't want to. There is an extraordinary scene with him lying in the street, having thrown up, and the sick is foregrounded, shall we say. But he's made to wear the dress. And then, obviously, it's at home, and his prospective wife wears it as well. An extraordinary moment ensues. I won't tell you, but there is fire is involved in lots of ways. And in the end, we do see all of the people who have been involved in the dress as the shop assistant, Miss Luckmore, who is Fatma Mohammed, wonderful, poised, and also poised in speech and poised in manner and demeanour and gait, as she moves up and down in the dumbwaiter. She stops off at different floors, and each of those characters who've been associated with the dress are sewing the dress. So it's about a dress. It's about the horrific part of the dress. And both characters, both Sheila and Reg, talk about a dream they've had. A sleeping dream, they call it. They both use the same phrase. It's lovely. And the mirroring here is fantastic. But what's also fantastic is that these are characters who don't have a personality which is outgoing. And they use the dress in order to have a personality. So Reg uses it, or is forced to use it, so that actually there's something to talk about on his stag night. And Sheila uses it in order to impress the men that she's going to meet on her dating, from her dating site. So it's about wearing a character and about how that can just get out of hand. It's beautifully done. The images are great. There's a real sense of calmness and a sense of letting these scenes play out. Beautifully done. I saw it on the BFI subscription, because I have one, but it's got to be out there somewhere. Have a look at it. It's timeless. It was made in 2018, but it's timeless. Performances are extremely measured, beautifully done. Great to see Leo Bill again. I saw him in a film with Kenneth Cranham. And they were there, actually. It was a premiere. Very nice. And he plays that kind of quiet, not quite characterful character beautifully. And that, of course, you have to have a lot of character to do that. Same with Marianne Jean-Baptiste. It's lovely to see her calmness and world weariness, beaten down by the world. And this is about putting on masks, and it's about not having an innate personality, putting something on from outside, and how that can create problems. That's the way I see it. But it's allowed such a long time to let these scenes play out. You don't get an enormous pumping soundtrack. You don't get quick cutting. This is soft and quiet and somnolent and terrifying. And I love it. Ta-ta.